Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now just for you. Answer your call and address your question. Or if there's something unfortunate going on in your life right now, something difficult, something frustrating, well, we'd love to discuss it with you and lead you into the Word of God for the answer and or the solution in the person of Jesus Christ. Call now, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or jot down the phone number, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. As a ministry, one of our passions is to connect people to the love of Jesus Christ. I think there's no greater thrill, no greater joy than when light bulbs go on in a person's mind and understanding and experience, and they really come to that point that they know for sure that Jesus Christ loves them and that nothing can separate them from the love of God. Yesterday, we had a very interesting call from Tony. He was our last caller of yesterday's broadcast, and he made this statement: I practically live on 1 John 1:9.
Yeah.
And he wasn't saying that in a positive way. It was a part of his life and his struggle against one particular sin that he was dealing with. And most of us have that one particular sin that we struggle with. For most men, it's sexual immorality, some form of sexual immorality. If you're a man listening to the program, you know what I'm talking about. You understand what I just said. And when those temptations come and when we give in to those temptations, we experience all kinds of guilt and fear and isolation and separation, and we worry about God. What does he think about me? Did I really make him mad? Did I out-sin his grace? Did I get to a point where I'm just beyond his reach? Mm-hmm. And those things start to really weigh on our souls and really puts us in despair. But boy, we try with everything in us to get God to come back, get God to turn around and face us again, to get God to smile at us and to like us. That's what we try to do. And 1 John 1:9 is one of those verses we use to try to get God to look our way again. So here's the cycle. And for all of us, this is what we experience. Sin knocks. Sin is a reality. Sin is out there. Sin has not gone away, and it knocks on our door. And the flesh says yes. Now, that's not us saying yes. That's the flesh saying yes. And when the flesh says yes, then it creates a strong pull on us to say yes to sin. It starts its maneuvering, its tactics, trying to convince us that this is really going to make us happy. This is really going to satisfy our souls. This is what life is all about. And so flesh does its best, presents its best case to get us to say yes to sin when sin knocks. Maybe we're feeling down. Maybe we're feeling lonely. Maybe we're feeling a sense of desperation that life has just been too much for us. The pressure has just been too much. We feel like we deserve a little pleasure, so we give in. We say yes to sin. Well, when we do, guilt sets in. And when guilt sets in, then comes the fear. And we're afraid. We're scared to death of God. We're scared to death of others, what they're going to think. We're just scared to death of repercussions, what's going to happen. And so we try to figure out a way to change all that. 1 John 1:9 comes into play. We confess that sin. We promise that we'll never do it again. We redouble our efforts. And then the cycle repeats itself. Sin knocks again. It's the same sin. It's not a different sin. It's the same sin. And the flesh says yes again, and there's even a stronger pull within us to go after that. And we do. And then 1 John kind of comes back into play at some point. And you have to ask yourself, is that the appropriate use of 1 John 1:9? And is that the use that allows us to get connected to the love of Christ? And in our experience, 30-something years as a ministry, we see that when people use 1 John 1:9 in this way, it actually becomes a hindrance for them to connecting to the love of Jesus Christ. It keeps them insecure. It keeps them in a sense and state of doubt.
Yeah.
It keeps them wondering if God really loves them. So what is the appropriate use of 1 John 1:9? What does that verse actually teach us? And we're going to spend a few moments on that today. 1 John 1:9 reads this: if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Now, that's the NIV translation. Most translations don't put the "will forgive and purify" in the future tense. They normally put that in a present tense. Why? Because I think the underlying Greek structure says that. So if we confess our sins, so we all sin, and so it's normal to read this and think, well, if we confess, then God will forgive. It's also normal for us to think that if we don't confess, then God won't forgive. But if you know anything about the Word of God, if you know anything about forgiveness, you know this, that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So when God forgives, it's not on the basis of our confession, it's on the basis of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So what is this saying to us? Well, I think we have to put it in context, and that's what I want to do here. Verse 8 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 10 says this: if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. That's the two verses that sandwich 1 John 1:9. So to those who are claiming to be without sin, Christians don't claim to be without sin. That's the one thing that we freely and generously confess. Mm-hmm. We are people who sin, who fall short, who stumble, who give in, and we readily admit that. Why? Because we know God's love. But there were groups of people back in the day when John was writing this that genuinely did not believe that they sinned. They genuinely did not believe that sin even existed. Well, what did John say about those? He said that they were deceiving themselves and that the truth was not in them. Now, that's in contrast to believers. When we come to Christ, as John wrote in his second letter, the truth comes to live inside of us and it lives in us forever. Well, who is the truth? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is alive, living in us.
Right.
His truth lives in us forever. So if John is saying the truth is not in someone, he is saying that they aren't believers, that they're deceiving themselves, and they're deceiving themselves because they're making this claim that they are without sin. Then it goes on to say, if they claim to that they have not sinned, they make God out to be a liar. So that's the ultimate of deception, when you try to make God out to be a liar. And when you make God out to be a liar, his word has no place in your life. So he's talking to folks who believe they've never sinned, folks who have claimed to have not sinned, folks who are deceived, folks who are without the truth, folks who are making God out to be a liar and whose word has no place in their lives. Would you call that person a Christian?
I don't think so.
That's a lost person. And to that lost person, John writes, if you confess your sins. Now, the word "if" is a little troublesome. But what John is saying here is this. You know, I know that you are saying that you're without sin, but if you will confess, now I'm not sure if you will confess or if you will not confess. That's what's in doubt here, the person's confession. But if they will confess, they're going to find this to be true, that God is faithful and just to forgive their sins and to purify them from all unrighteousness. Now, that's true of God whether a person confesses or not. He's faithful and just. That character will never change. That's who God is. And we see that and experience it in the forgiving of our sins and the cleansing of all unrighteousness. So to these folks who are claiming to be without sin, John invites them to enter into the fellowship by confessing their sins, agreeing with God, saying the same thing about their sin that God does, and then finding God to be faithful and just to have forgiven their sins and to have purified them from all unrighteousness. Yeah. Now, for many, when they hear that explanation, that's when light bulbs go on, and that's when that connection to the love of Christ is actually made. So what does that mean? Well, for Tony yesterday, he thought God was mad at him because he kept giving in to the same sin day after day, week after week, month after month. And he felt like that sin caused a separation between he and God. Now, is that true? Well, not if you're a believer. If you're in Christ, you are saved. Fellowship is yours. You are in the fellowship. To be saved means you're in the fellowship. You're not in darkness. You're in the light. You were once in darkness, but now you're in light. You're children of the light. Go out and live as a child of the light. So you're not in darkness anymore. You're not out of fellowship. You're in fellowship. Why? Because you are saved. Well, so what do I do when I sin? Well, I think we confess our sins. I think that's walking in truth, but we also confess the fact that Jesus Christ has already forgiven that sin. In Christ, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. If you're in Christ, you have forgiveness. Well, that's what being connected to the love of God is all about. God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. That's good news. He took away your sins. We have once for all forgiveness. It's not something that we keep getting, you know, day after day after day. We've been given forgiveness of sins. Why? Because we're in Christ. That's the good news. Well, once we realize that, then we have the love of God in our hearts that will enable us to break free from this cycle. It'll enable us to say no to sin and yes to Jesus Christ. That was Tony's concern. How can I stop sinning? God wants something much more from you than simply to stop sinning.
Right.
There are many folks, for example, who are alcoholics, and they go to meetings, and they've learned how to control those urges. They've learned how to recognize the triggers that set them off, that turn them into a bar where they just drink and drink and drink. They've learned how to control that, and many have been sober for years and years, so they've stopped drinking. Yet many of those who have stopped drinking are still empty inside. They're still suffering loneliness and all sorts of things. Why? Because they've never come to the truth about Christ. And so what God wants for us is to come to the truth about Christ and to receive his life and to be connected to his love. That's what God desires for us. And then he wants us to learn to trust him on a day-to-day basis. God wants you to trust him. And when you learn to trust him, then you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So we've got it mixed up. We think God's number one priority for us is to say no to sin or is to stop sinning. No, God's number one priority for us is to trust Jesus, to trust his love, to trust in his resurrected life, his power to enable us to say no to sin and yes to Jesus Christ. So if you're in that cycle, If you're worried that God is mad at you, if you're worried that your sin has caused a separation, hear the word of God. Hear what Jesus is saying. Your sins are forgiven.
Yeah.
Receive that. Receive that today. And when you do, that will be the connection to the love of God that will enable you to know and to be confident that God genuinely loves you and that nothing can separate you from his love.
Friends, if you're struggling with these issues, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to discuss it with you right now at 844-32-BASIC. This is Basic Gospel, and we're here to discuss your particular situation, your question from the Bible, some particular passage you can't quite understand, perhaps one surrounding 1 John 1:9 and the entire chapter of 1 John, as a matter of fact. We'd love to hear from you right now, 844-32-BASIC. That's the number. We have open lines right now.
Yeah, and this is such an important topic because every time we'll do a conference and we'll spend, hours talking about the forgiveness that we have in Christ,
yeah.
This once-for-all sacrifice that Jesus made that took away our sins once for all. And, you know, passage after passage, 1 Peter 3:18, Colossians 2, Acts 10 and Acts 26 and all these different passages that talk about the forgiveness that we have,
yeah.
That we've been given in Christ Jesus. We'll spend many hours talking about those things, and then at the end of the discussion, there's always the hands that go up, and it's always the question, what about 1 John 1:9? It's always it. Why? Because that's the only verse that we really know and try to apply in our lives when it comes to sin and forgiveness. And we get trapped in this cycle, and we think 1 John 1:9 is going to break us free. And our misuse of that not only does not break us free, it tightens the trap.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so we need to understand what it really has to say.
You bet.
Well, let's go to Elizabeth, New Jersey, and talk with Deborah, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, how are you, fellas?
Doing wonderful. What's on your mind today?
Well, first I want to tell you that I appreciate so much what you fellas just got done saying. That really lifted my spirits up today. And I have a question, please, that I've been struggling with. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, well, 1 and 2, actually number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What does that exactly mean?
Well, it means this, Deborah, that Jesus Christ is really the object of our faith. I love how Paul put it in his letter to the Galatians. He said, when faith came. Well, when did faith come for us? Well, when we heard the message concerning Christ. Paul again writes about that in Hebrews chapter 10. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So it's this message of Christ that generates faith inside of us, that enables us to respond to him, to believe him, to choose to trust him. So that's what it means, that he's the author or the pioneer of faith. And then he's also the perfecter. What God wants for us is to keep our eyes on Jesus, to continue to trust him, to learn how to trust him in each and every situation that comes our way. He is always the answer. So if we could have a conversation, for example, Deborah, with God the Father, and say, God, we're in a pickle down here. Life is tough. Pressures are mounting. I don't know how to escape. I don't know how to experience peace. God would say, I want you to trust Jesus. He's alive, living in you. Trust him. He loves you. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. He's forgiven all of your sins. He's renewing your mind. Trust him. He will give you the wisdom you need. You say, okay, Lord, I'm going to learn how to trust him. And so your faith starts to mature. And that's what it means to perfect your faith, that he's the author and perfecter. He's bringing your faith to a maturity. to an end goal. So Jesus is the object, and he's the one that brings substance to your faith. Without Jesus, there really is no faith.
Okay, that sounds so wonderful. You know what? I just have to tell you this. Your voices are so soothing, and every day when I listen to you fellas, I have such peace for that half an hour when I listen to your voices. It's just so soothing, the words that you say. Thank you so much for being there.
Well, thank you, Deborah.
Yes, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for those kind words. We sure appreciate it. And let me put you on hold, Deborah. We'll send you a copy of a book I wrote a couple of years ago called Love Is, and would love to put that in your hands just as our compliments for saying, for being a part of the program today. You hang on.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
In just a moment, we're going to go talk to Chris in McLean, Virginia, but I think it's necessary to jump right in here today because we are only 25 days away from the first stop on the Basic Gospel Hear, Believe, Live tour. The site, Valley Church in Vacaville, California. And you've heard us use the tagline, Hear, Believe, Live, many times, and it's for a reason. Each word in that tagline has a distinct meaning, and we'll be discussing those distinctions in detail on that first stop of the tour on Saturday, March 7th in Northern California. With only 25 days remaining until that date, it's time to put that on your calendar and come meet us. The entire on-air radio team is going to be there. We want to meet you, too. Information and registration available online at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-41-BASIC. You can speak with our operator. Again, basicgospel.net or 844-412-2742. The Hear, Believe, Live tour coming up March 7th at Vacaville, California.
Well, thanks, Bob. We are going to go to McLean, Virginia, and talk to Chris listening to us on WAVA. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. This is Chris from Fairfax, Virginia, calling from my workplace, and it's really cool you're talking about 1 John 1:9, because I was actually calling about that, too, to encourage Tony. That used to be me, that in that cycle of confessing and thinking I had to confess my every sin in order to stay clean. Like, I thought that if I missed a sin, like, God wouldn't hear my prayers or some demon would come after me. And I was going to recommend Andrew Farley's book, God Without Religion. He has a really great explanation. I mean, even as early as the beginning of the letter, you see John emphasizing that Jesus was touched, seen, and heard. And you see later in the letter that he's emphasizing Jesus came in the flesh. So you can see he's referring to something there. He's getting at the root of the Gnostic heresy, who they believed that, you know, there wasn't a sin problem and they didn't need a savior. And, you know, you start getting into this law of, like, thou shalt confess your every sin. Sin really likes that. That's when sin thrives, and that's kind of what Paul says in Romans 7. But if you want to be free of that, you keep your eyes on Jesus. And you
yeah, we
that,
get,
no matter what you do.
We can become very much sin conscious. I mean, that's our every thought. We wake up, Lord, I'm not going to commit this sin. We pray. You know, at noon, Lord, I don't want to commit this sin. And our whole focus is on trying to restrain ourselves from committing a sin. And when we do that, it just intensifies the desire to do that sin. And we struggle, and finally we give in, and then we feel guilty. And so God doesn't want us to focus on sin. He's taken that away once and for all. He wants us to focus on Jesus Christ and the love that we have there. And it's in focusing on Jesus Christ and walking in dependence upon him that we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. That's a byproduct. And it's such an important truth that we need to embrace. That's where we're going to experience real victory in our lives. So, Chris, thanks for being a part of today's broadcast. We certainly appreciate it. Thanks for your call, my friend.
Yes, indeed. And thanks to everyone who listened and tuned in and heard truth proclaimed, as always, on Basic Gospel. That was a great lesson on 1 John 1:9 and that forgiveness and confession for forgiveness issue, Bob. So thank you for that. And to everybody, thank you for joining us today. A reminder that someone gave so that you could hear the truth of God's Word through Basic Gospel. And if that's true of you, we hope it's been a blessing in your life. Then consider being a part of the blessing to pass the message on, supporting Basic Gospel with your giving. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.